Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray, Father, that thy will be done in this afternoon hour. That as we look into thy word and as we meditate upon it, that you will bless our being together, that you'll inspire us through the leading of the Holy Spirit. For we rely upon thee, we trust in thee, because we love thee, and we want to serve thee. And so we have gathered ourselves together in this afternoon hour, and we pray that you'll hear our prayers, our pleas, and you'll bless accordingly. Father, we pray that thy word might go forth in truth, simplicity, and may all honor and glory and praise be unto thy name. Amen. With the help of the Lord, I would like to read out of the book of St. John, chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. And then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Thief, therefore, cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And as the Father knoweth me, even so I, the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. For many of them said, He hath the devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can the devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, and I say unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, many good works have I shewed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If ye called them gods, unto them unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent unto the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John had first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did not know miracles, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. We read the scriptures this morning. We was encouraged by the power of the Holy Spirit that we must contend for the faith. And so what exactly is contending for the faith? What is our faith? Is it that we're born-again believers, that we're children of God because we belong to the Apostolic Christian Church and this is our faith? What does our faith consist of? We need to ask these questions because sometimes Satan tries to destroy what faith we have. And so here we find in these readings where the Apostle John writes about the true shepherd. And so the words that Christ used and the example that he used here was that of a shepherd in the sheepfold. Now, apparently, they were obviously well aware of what tending sheep is all about. Myself, I really don't know that much about it. I do know that sheep are followers. They don't lead. They just follow, most generally. They don't go on their own. They depend on someone to guide them, to lead them, to direct them, to show them. And this is what he was pointing out here. This is what his responsibility as the chief shepherd, if you will, and what he did for the sheep. And so he uses this analogy here. But when he talked about that, it says in verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake of. We understand this because we've heard it so many times. We well understand what the shepherd's all about. And so he goes into an explanation here. I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I'm not quite sure who these thieves and these robbers he's referring to, but apparently it's those that did not teach the doctrine of Jesus Christ. They did not believe in him. What they believed in is we don't know. The scriptures does not explain that to us here. But he calls them thieves and robbers. So apparently they were not leading the sheep in the direction that he himself, as the chief shepherd, would do. And so he goes in to explain this. I am the door. And by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and feed and find pasture. So this is kind of a promise for us that if we hear his voice and we know who he is and we have listened and obeyed that voice, then we can be assured that he will not misdirect us. He will not take us into places where there's no pasture or no water, but he will feed us the way he sees fit. He will feed us the things that will strengthen us, if you will, our faith in him. And this is a faith that we must contend for, is that faith that we believe in him and in his salvation that he brings, that he's offered us. And this is why he says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. But what is this abundant life that he's referring to? If we believe in him and we trust in him and we do what he says, if we hear his voice, obey his voice, then we can understand what it means to be abundantly blessed by him. Because he will not lead us astray. He will lead us into green pastures, meaning that he will give us the words that his Father wants us to have. He'll give us the life that we want, this peace and this joy and this contentment that we experience as believers, as we have come to know. And so this is the faith that we are contending for. This faith in our true shepherd, which is Jesus Christ. And this is what he was explaining to his disciples. He says, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. This is the first time he mentions that he's going to give his life for the sheep. This is what a good shepherd does. And as he says here, the thief, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth them. So you see, this is a hireling. And the reason that he does this, he says the hireling fleeth because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep. And this is what he was trying to get them to understand what his responsibility is. He was the chief shepherd. He was the one that they should listen to and obey and hear his voice and not someone else. And this is what we find today. We need to hear the voice of Jesus calling. When we hear him and he sends out his invitation and we hear his voice, he calls us, we need to respond to that. Listen to that small, still voice. And he doesn't talk loud. You don't hear him like you're hearing me. He doesn't raise his voice. He calls you in a sweet, tender way. And so he wants you to understand. He wanted them to understand that I will give you this life and give it more abundantly, and I will lay down my life, because he's not the hireling. He is the real shepherd. And this is what we understand is a real shepherd. They lay down their life. In other words, when they're watching over their sheep at night, who knows what comes around? Wolves, as he mentions here. They come, but the hireling sees it. He's scared. He scatters. What does he care? They're not his sheep. He takes off and leaves them, and then the wolf scatters them. And the point being here that the same way, if we don't follow him as our shepherd and our believer, the wolf will come along and he will scatter us. Rest assured. And that wolf is none other than Satan himself. Satan is the one that scatters us. How does he do that? He'll come to us and he'll try to tell us and encourage us, you don't know what you're doing. This is no faith to follow. He gives you all kinds of excuses. It's phony. Those people that go there, you're worshiping with, they're phony. Don't pay no attention. These are the tactics that he comes with me to and tries to convince me. And I have to tell him, get behind me, Satan. I don't believe you for a minute. No, can't. Can't believe it, because I know that he is this wolf. He is this one that's trying to scatter the sheep. And if he can do it, and it doesn't matter any way he can do it, he will do it. If he can cause dissension, if he can cause hate, if he can cause jealousy, whatever he can do amongst the brethren, this is what he'll do. And this is how he tries to scatter us in any way, shape, or form that he can. And then we have to then turn and listen again to that small, still voice that guides us and directs us and teaches us. The scriptures teach us that you need no man to teach you, but the guiding of the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. Now, there's a key to that. And the key is to be tuned in, very fine-tuned into the leading of the Holy Spirit. And my friend outside of Jesus Christ, you have no clue what that is. You have no idea. The reason you don't have an idea, because you don't follow that good shepherd. You don't know, you don't hear that voice that is calling you and beckoning you to come follow him. You're listening to that hireling because your life is scattered. Your life is anything but Christian-like. And so you don't hear the voice. The only way you're going to hear that voice is if you submit yourself to God's will, humble yourself, get on your knees and repent, and then become baptized. Make restitution where there's needed. Do what is right. Call upon the Lord to help you and to direct you. He will. But if you reject him, you turn it away, you're going to be listening to that hireling that is drawing you in the other direction. And he will do that as long as you're willing to listen to the hireling. And so this is what he is trying to get across to us, understand. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. See, he knows all his sheep. He knows every one of us that are his. And not only does he know everyone that are his, but he knows every one of us in here. And he knows who has rejected him, and he knows who's accepted him. He knows who has this abundant life, and he knows who don't. Because he is a shepherd. He has laid down his life for us. And he goes on to say that again. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. We know that he did lay down his life for the sheep. Then he mentions about other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice and shall be one fold and one shepherd. And so when he talks about another fold, he's talking about, I believe, the Gentiles that he came for as well as the Jews. We read in the first chapter of John, he came for his own, meaning that he came for Israel. He was an Israelite. He came for them, but they refused him. They wouldn't accept him. They didn't know him. He was that carpenter's son. Who's that? We don't know that. We don't know him. Forget it. That's it. And so he came then for others, and that's this other fold that he's talking about as well as his own. Now, there were some that did believe him. There were many Jews that was converted to Christianity because they believed in his son, Jesus Christ. They weren't all refusing him, but there were at that time many that did. And then he says, therefore, doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. And you know, we read in the later parts of the book of John, as well as the other Gospels, how that they was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the gang came. They got their clubs and their swords and their torches, and they come to bind him and take him to Pilate. And they came and took him in as if he was some who knows what. And he simply went with them. He made took no give no resistance whatsoever. Just as if a sheep that goes to slaughter, the Bible says. And he laid down his life for us. There was no resistance. You know why? Because he loved us and he knew that he had to come for that reason. That's our good shepherd, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He came for every one of us, sinner or saint alike. We're all loved by him because he has a concern and a care for us, and he does what he does for us what we need. He supplies our spiritual well-being. He guards us, he protects us. That's why he goes on to say here, I give unto you eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. This is a promise that you and I can cling to. No one can take away your faith that you contend for. No one can take that. The only one that can destroy that and take it away is you yourself. The only one. And the only way that that's going to happen is when you don't believe, when you mistrust, when you live your own life, you go your own way. And that's the way it is. You just will not. You will not. You can easily pluck yourself out of his hand. We read in there, in the other epistles, that there were those that left the faith. Paul wrote to the Timothy, and he said, there are those that have loved this world better than the Lord and have went off their own ways and no longer follow this way. They couldn't see, they didn't want to no longer be a part of, no longer listen to this small, still voice. No longer wanted to follow that shepherd that was leading them. And so they went off. And we see that today. There are people today. They lose their faith. They begin to listen to man. They begin to listen to what things that they don't believe in. And the next thing you know, the church is no good. The people are no good. The ministers are no good. The elders are no good. And the next thing you know, they're gone. That's because of a lack of faith. That's because of a lack of upholding the faith that we learned about this morning. Contending for that faith. And you see, we have to direct our lives in such a way so that we will not get into that category to where we're going to lose our soul salvation. There are people that don't believe they can lose their soul salvation. There are people that believe that they can do whatever they want to, live in any kind of sin. They don't worry. They're saved and they're secure. That's a false doctrine. That's only true. We're saved and we're secure only if we believe and trust in Jesus Christ. If we believe and abound and cling to his truth that he gives us, and that we follow the one true shepherd. And that way we will never fall. We will never fail. We can be secure. But it depends on whether we want to contend for the faith or when we just live our lives the way it goes. And it is such. And the next thing you know, we're drifting away. So you see, when he mentioned this here that he lays down his life for him, it caused a division among the Jews, it says. Many of them said, he has a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? And others said, these are not the words of him that hath the devil. How can a devil open the eyes of the blind? But you see, there was some, even like today, some believe, some don't. They're divided. We're divided. Many people around us simply don't believe this. That's it. They don't go. They don't hear it. They don't go. They don't read it. Nothing. You and I are different. You and I find that this is our abundant life. This is our motivation to even live, is to believe in Jesus Christ. and have that hope that one day we're going to be with him throughout all eternity. This is contending for that faith, dearly ones. We've got to believe that. We trust in that. And so, as he goes on to say, and then, of course, when he mentioned that his father, that he was, my father and I, which gave them me, is greater than I, and no man is able to pluck them out of my father's hand. I and the Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. You see, when he said, my Father and I are one, that connected him with the Almighty God, and that was blasphemy to them. They wanted to stone him because he's blasphemy. So he asked them, many good works have I shewed you from my Father, for which those works do you stone me? So, and they said, well, we don't stone you for the works. We stone you because you said you're the Son of God. And so, you see, they could not accept it. They would not believe it. And we have that very same thing today. People don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe he's the Son of God. So we got to be guarding ourselves against that as we live our lives and go about meeting different people that are like this. And then he talks about these gods. He said, Jesus answered them, is not it written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If ye call them gods unto whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye to him of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? I do not the works of my Father. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know, and believe that the Father is in me and I in one. And so I believe that this is the crux of our faith. This is the thing that we must contend for. I and the Father are one, as well as believing in the Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity. That's the very basis and the crux of our faith, our life, and our belief in Jesus Christ. And so as he goes on to say, then, therefore, they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and he went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John had baptized, and there he abode. And I believe that Christ had to go and sever himself away from the crowds to just meditate upon the Lord, meditate upon his own responsibility. Remember that he was human. He was flesh and blood. He got tired. And he probably got, no doubt, fed up with some of them that accused him of blaspheming, that wouldn't hear him, that wouldn't follow the good shepherd. And so he had to go sever himself and meditate. And I think there are times when you and I need to do the same thing ourselves. Maybe go into our own closet, not necessarily our closed closet, but just sever ourselves from the world and meditate on God's word, meditate on what we learned, meditate on what our faith is and what we should contend for. We need to do that. Sever ourselves so that we can meditate and focus solely on our own soul salvation, what the Lord has abundantly given unto us. And so we see here then that he says, and many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. But you see, there were those that even, in spite of the ones that wanted to call him, say, accuse him of blasphemy and didn't hear him and didn't know him, there were still many that believed in his words, believed that he was the Son of God, and to believe that he was the Redeemer, the Christ that came for them. So as we learn this and understand who our Good Shepherd is, who the one is that saved us from our soul and saved our souls from eternal condemnation. Let us glorify him. Let us remember him. Let us praise him. Be thankful for it. And let us all contend for the faith.
Though we've heard the words often, Jesus explaining and teaching who he is through his word is still refreshing to our souls. In his seeking, in his loving care, his tender guidance, and presenting us the choice of thieves and robbers or a good shepherd, Jesus says these words, "I lay down my life for the sheep." And he calls us to follow in that love and in that example. Peter writes, "Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." As I was thinking of the people that were listening to Jesus speaking the first time, maybe not knowing what would happen in Christ's death and resurrection, they heard the story about a shepherd and the shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. When the shepherd dies, what is he going to do? And it probably would have been confusing to hear. But what did this shepherd do? Peter goes on to say, "Who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." By his stripes we are healed and we are given freedom. "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Beloved, he laid down his life to bear our sins upon the tree so that we could bear witness that he is alive and he is not like a shepherd that dies under the attack, but he has conquered death and sin. And it is our faith and testimony to a world that is hopeless without Christ that Christ lives and lives in you and I. Brother gave us very practical guidance to separate ourselves and to meditate upon the word that we've heard, because we've heard a lot today and been very blessed. May God give us that grace. Amen.